Welcome back to another broadcast of the Word for Life radio program. With me in the studio today is a guest host, as Dr. Olal, our normal co-host, is away on a ministry venture, Dr. Matt Williams. And Brother Matt, it's always good to have you on the show. And I know that you have many, many years of ministry experience, 35 years in Kansas City at Tri-City Baptist Church, and now on staff at Northern Baptist Bible College on our administrative team and serving as the associate pastor out at Grace Baptist Church in Kingsford, Michigan. Is that right? Did I get all that in there?
That's it.
Other stats, you know, 5 children.
Yeah.
How many grandchildren?
4 with 1 on the way, so we have 5, actually.
5 grandchildren.
5 grandchildren.
You're about 5'8", and you weigh about 120. Is that right? I'm getting all the stats out there.
Something like that. Let me just say that my wife was actually the one who attracted me to Jesus Christ. I saw something in her that I did not have. I was religious, but was lost, and met her at college, and praise the Lord that she was the one that really showed me what Christianity was. Trusted Christ as Savior back in Kansas City and then became a staff member later on.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're excited to have you back on the show, Brother Matt. And you and I have been talking together about a book that you wrote some time ago called How to Be a Team Player.
And Enjoy It.
And Enjoy It. And so we're doing a series, really, off of that book called How to Be a Team Player in Life, because you made an observation that was so true, that all of us are in Christian service, whether or not we're in Christian ministry full-time.
That's very true. I mean, the Bible is very clear that we're to give ourselves back to God because of what He did for us. And we have heaven as our home, but we have a mission here in life.
In fact,
and
you said it, that our priority,
that we should let our purpose in life prioritize our life. And I get that from Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2.
That's a great way to say it. And really, in the last number of broadcasts, let me just kind of bring our new listeners up to speed in our conversation as we continue today on the idea of being a team player in whatever team God has placed us, whether that's on a marriage team or in a church team or in a ministry team, in a Sunday school class or a 1-hour youth program. But particularly, we're looking at how we can be a team player in our workplace as good, godly laymen trying to be salt and light for the Lord, perhaps in a very dark place.
That's right.
And you shared with us, really, that there are 3 basic areas in which we can do this. One is the area of our authorities. And the governing principle there, if I remember correctly, was the principle of submission.
And the 2 words that we used were, first of all, honor, that we're to do all that we can to help those over us to succeed. And the second word was loyalty. Loyalty means unswerving in allegiance, but we want to help those that God has placed over us in all those different arenas of life to be successful, and how can I do that?
And then we had an entire broadcast where you kind of helped us see the second area on this idea of team play, and that was not just being on board with our authorities, but really being on board with our co-laborers.
Right, and the 2 words that we used there were cooperation and support. And the passage of Scripture was from Colossians chapter 3, tells us that whatever we do, we should do it wholeheartedly with sincerity. And that was the word that we used.
Yeah, that was the governing principle.
The sincerity principle.
So submission to our authorities, sincerity with our co-laborers.
That's right. And how can we help them to succeed?
Now, let me ask you about a difficult area, and maybe an area that you know, we don't normally think about. But what about those people who serve us? What about those people who the Lord may have given us a level of authority over?
Well, there's a very important passage of Scripture. I call it biblical leadership. But in Mark chapter 10, starting in verse 42, it says, "But Jesus called them to Him and saith unto them, Ye know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister, and whosoever you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give His life a ransom for many." To me, that's the overriding principle. And what it's actually telling us there is that in life, we're to be a minister.
A servant.
What it's saying is that the higher up we go, we are to actually use that as a platform to serve others, not to lord over it. Totally contrary.
I was going to say, that might be a very different mindset for many of our listeners to hear. I mean, when you think about working in a normal work environment, if you're a supervisor, you're not really the guy doing the serving. You're the guy doing the directing.
Even in the classroom, you know, for a number of years, if I was teaching a class, I would try to share with students in the class that they had a responsibility, and that was a responsibility to do their best. And if they did their best in the class, that helped me to succeed. But I had a greater responsibility because my responsibility was to help each one of them to succeed. And yes, I didn't go for the bell-shaped curve necessarily and all of that in grading because I wanted all of them to get A's if they could.
Yeah.
And I don't care what level of responsibility, how can I help those under me to succeed? That means starting in the home. If I'm in charge of my home, how can I be serving my wife and my family? If there's a problem in my home, I have to realize that it's my responsibility first.
You know, it's interesting. Many of our listeners are going to perhaps start off with the idea that, well, I'm not in charge of anybody. Everybody's in charge of me. I'm the boss of nobody. Everybody is the boss of me. We all kind of feel that times that way, and it may be that we don't have a title. But the Lord has given us influence over and responsibility for a number of people in our life, starting with our families, like you just said, our wife and our children.
Exactly. And then, of course, it expands to even where we live and our network of people that God has placed us in neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. And he's placed us, you know, where people live around us in the workplace, in our churches. And we don't have to have a title. I learned a long time ago that leadership is not just positional by a title, but it's actually, in fact, what I have seen is that the greatest type of leadership you can have is example leadership. And you know, even those coworkers, they might not be under us necessarily, but yet we have a responsibility and a privilege. And as we've been talking about being salt and light, but one of the ways that we can do that is to really be of service to them. And that's our word. We've been looking at submission, looking at sincerity. So what we're saying
today is service.
And I've got two words for today.
Okay, what are they? We're looking forward to those.
First of all is fairness. In other words, to those underneath us, if we use that terminology, subordinates, that we're to be fair. And secondly, we're to have genuine biblical love. What can I do to help them to succeed? We don't have time to get into 1 Corinthians 13, but you begin looking there and begin seeing that love is kind and all the different ramifications of what is genuine biblical love. And it's a great study for us to look at. You know, it's unselfish and it suffereth long and all of these different things. And as we have those people under us, what can I do to minister to them?
Can you give me a quick picture or definition of love in the context that you're talking about? I know we talked about 1 Corinthians 13.
I believe biblical love is sacrificing self for the success of somebody else.
That's sacrificing self
for the success of someone else.
Which means you got to give.
You're a giver. And interestingly enough, see, what we're normally thinking of when we talk about relationships, a lot of times we're on the taking end. I'm an authority, so people have to serve me. Okay, people are underneath me as subordinates, and all right, I get my way, and they've got to do what I tell them to do. Well, that's true. That is true in a way. But the mindset, and that's what we've been talking about, going back to let your purpose, why are we here? We're here to, number one, serve Jesus Christ, but number two, we are here to serve other people. And if I can sacrifice myself to make those underneath me successful, what a mentoring discipleship process it is.
Well, that really is a change in our whole. You know what? No wonder the Lord said you got to deny yourself.
Yeah.
If you're going to be a disciple, you're going to have to deny yourself. And you kind of, as you're growing up, you kind of think, man, I just can't wait till I'm old enough to be a boss. I can't wait till I can get out of these rules and get out of this house and I want to be on my own. And then you get out on your own and you begin to realize, man, I had it pretty good when I was a teenager. I just had mom and dad. Now I got, you know, 50 people telling me what to do. So serving is a very big part of this process of being a team player, and that involves loving the other person enough to give of yourself, even when you don't want to give what you don't want to give up, in order to make them successful. Is that what you're saying to us?
That's exactly what it is.
Now,
in all the different settings that we have.
Now, the other word you had was fairness.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to us about fairness. What do you mean by fairness?
Well, to being impartial. There are certain people that, all right, okay, I'll serve. I like them. All right, I'll be happy to help to make them succeed. I learned this principle when I was a youth pastor. And guess who I learned it from? One of my teenagers. And I saw a teenager who, in a certain sense, when it talks about Jesus in Philippians 2, make himself of no reputation, this guy made himself of no reputation, and he saw somebody at school that was an outcast and somebody who really wasn't liked by anybody. And he said, you know what? Jesus loves him too.
Mm.
And he took upon himself befriending that guy, sitting by him at lunch, inviting him to church, and for the next 2 years of high school, brought him to every service. And that young man ended up trusting the Lord and actually became an intricate part of our youth group. And he was somewhat of an outcast at first, but yet he was around this guy who was very popular. And so, as a result, everybody else liked him because he was around this guy.
So
but in time, he became an intricate part.
Translate that to the workplace.
So here is a co-laborer. I don't like him.
He irritates me.
He probably doesn't like me. He's different than me. I don't like the way that he talks, or I don't like some of his mannerisms, and as a result, I just try to avoid him.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, if we really look at the principle, let my purpose prioritize my life, what can I do to help him to succeed? How can I be a friend to him? Maybe a lot of other people don't like him. Maybe he's an outcast at work.
And we're not talking about becoming involved in sinful activities.
Right.
We're not talking about go down to the bar with him or go out and party with him, but we are talking about loving him and serving him like we would love and serve the people we're more compatible with.
And normally what happens is, a key word in all of this, I think, is communication. Because what happens is a lot of times we just don't get to know somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And we judge them, these first impression things. And we think somebody, we've got them all figured out. And yet when you really get to know that person. As a brand new Christian, the first guy that I met on the job, the first guy that I found out was a Christian, was the guy that I didn't think I liked.
Huh.
As I began to get to know him, and he invited me to a Bible study, I began to see his heart, and he began actually to mentor me, and he became a friend. Even though he was the one guy, when I first saw that he was a Christian, I thought, oh, no, I don't want him to, because I don't like him and nobody else likes him. But once I began to see...
So when we talk about being a team player in life, in these areas of submission and sincerity and service, one of the great tools...
Is communication.
Yeah, and I'm sure you've got a couple more in your arsenal there.
Well, consistency is another thing. I think that is such an area. Many times the problems that we face is inconsistency.
Mm-hmm.
And that can even be in personality. There again, what we have to do is be that salt and light. How can I do that? How can I pray for him? And maybe even get to a point with communication that I ask him, hey, how can I pray with you? Or how can I pray for you?
Well, Brother Matt, this has been a delight. We've been talking to Dr. Matt Williams, and author of the book, How to Be a Team Player. Some of you may be interested in getting a copy of that book for yourself, and for a donation of $10, we'd be happy to send you your own copy of that. You can contact us here at the end of the broadcast. Until the next time that we're together, we hope that this has been a blessing to you. May the Lord bless you.